From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. This week, Dr. Cairns continues a series of studies on the doctrine of the person and work of the Holy Spirit, a subject of vital importance for the Church of Jesus Christ. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled Condition of Blessing. The text is Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Many read and plead this promise without noticing the condition upon which the blessing is promised. We cannot expect heaven to be opened or blessing poured out unless we pay our dues unto the Lord our God and to His cause. There would be no lack of funds for holy purposes if all professing Christians paid their fair share. Many are poor because they rob God. Many churches also miss the visitations of the Spirit because they starve their ministers. If there is no temporal meat for God's servants, we need not wonder if their ministry has but little food in it for our souls. When missions pine for means, and the work of the Lord is hindered by an empty treasury, how can we look for a large amount of soul prosperity? Come, come, what have I given of late? Have I been mean to my God? Have I stinted my Savior? This will never do. Let me give my Lord Jesus His tithe by helping the poor and aiding His work, and then I shall prove His power to bless me on a large scale. Regular Bible reading is an essential part of the Christian life. In the Holy Scriptures, God has given us everything we need to know for salvation, for spiritual growth, and for the many issues and problems that believers face. However, many Christians do not profit from the Bible as they should because they have no guidance as to how to study it. Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us, if you wish, at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Or if you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. This week on Let the Bible Speak, Dr. Alan Cairns will continue his series of studies in the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Today he continues a message entitled, Resisting the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 7, verse 51, just prior to his martyrdom, Stephen accused the Jewish leaders of always resisting the Holy Ghost. The unsaved resist the Holy Ghost in a number of ways, such as by their proud religion of externals, by their rejection of Christ as personal Savior, and by their frequent hardness to the preaching of the truth of salvation. In addition, apostate preachers resist the Holy Spirit by their opposition to the spread of the gospel. But Christians, too, can resist the Holy Ghost by failing to live up to what they claim to believe, thus bringing reproach upon the name of Christ. Now Dr. Cairns continues this message, Resisting the Holy Spirit.
The gospel of Jesus Christ will not be stopped by some bunch of religious bureaucrats sitting down to say, here we draw the line and there's going to be no more mission work. Why? Because they're not resisting a bunch of fundamentalists or Bible believers or Protestants or Calvinists or Presbyterians or Baptists or whatever. They are resisting the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Spirit will never be overcome in the spread of the gospel by any bunch of apostates. Jesus said he would build his church and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. He said to the church in Philadelphia, not USA, but Asia Minor, he said to it, that I am he who opens the door and no man can close it. I like that. Of course, he also says, I am he who closes the door and no man can open it. What a joy it is to realize that when sinners, apostates, oppose the spread of the gospel, they are losing because they're resisting the Holy Ghost. Very quickly, let me say that sometimes even Christians can be guilty of this sin. You look at the circumstances here and you'll find a description of some things that Christians can do. For instance, a Christian is found to be resisting the Holy Ghost when his profession and his practice do not coincide. This was what Stephen was upbraiding the Jews about, their hypocrisy. They profess one thing and they do another thing. Hypocrisy is a great evil. It's a great wickedness in the Christian. You stop to think of this. What a Christian professes usually reflects what he knows the Holy Ghost requires. Does not every Christian here profess the centrality of Jesus Christ in his life? Does not every Christian profess, yes, Jesus Christ should be all and in all? Does not every Christian profess Jesus Christ and his glory should be the supreme and central motivation of my whole life? Does not every Christian profess that this Bible is the Word of God and we ought to give time to the study of the Word of God? Does not every Christian profess that prayer is the soul's chief delight and it is the soul's great requirement to be in tune with God and to spend time with God? Yes, every Christian professes such things, but not every Christian practices those things. In other words, we are by our profession giving witness to what we know the Holy Ghost requires, but by our practice we are resisting the Holy Ghost. When your profession is one thing and your practice is another, believer, that is resisting the Holy Ghost. And then again we look at this background and we can see a sin that Christians can commit, and that is resisting the Holy Ghost by hindering his work in any of its areas. When Christians are slow to hear the Word of God, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. This is his inspired word. Hebrews 5 and 11 says of the Hebrew Christians something that's true of American Christians and British Christians. It says, you're dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. We live in a day, and I have made this point again and again, but I'm going to make it again. We live in a day when we have greater levels of education among Christians than at any time in history. There is I'm not saying a greater depth of education or knowledge at the highest levels, but I am saying that it's spread more evenly right across the church. Very few people now can't read the Bible for themselves. An awful lot have the availability to go even further and learn to at least read it, if not expound it, even from the original tongues. Oh yes, there's ability there, there's education there. But there's a tremendously infantile character to most churches today. If a preacher talks about any of the great doctrines of grace, that's too deep for us. Paul was wanting to talk to the Hebrews about the Melchizedek priesthood of Christ. And I get grieved at that bunch because they were that thick and dull of hearing that Paul didn't get to say a lot of the things that he wanted to say. And I would certainly love to have heard what some of the things were. For what he has said is fascinating enough. But he says, I can't talk to you about those things. How often that's true. Dull of hearing. But you know, when you're slow to hear the Word of God, when you're slow to give place to the demands and commands of Scripture, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. When you fail to pray, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. Did we not discover in our studies the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of grace and of intercession? When you turn away from Christ, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. I'm not now merely talking, although this would be true, of a Christian turning into sin and backsliding. Oh, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. But there's a more subtle form of that, turning away from Christ. We see it all around us in Christian churches today. When you turn into yourself, or turn to someone else or something else rather than Christ for your peace, your victory, your satisfaction, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. You think of the churches across America this morning, fundamental, separated, Bible-believing churches. And there are thousands of them where the name of Jesus Christ will hardly be mentioned in the sermon. Where not one leading doctrine or truth of Christ will be expounded in the sermon. You think of many where even if you were to sit for a whole year, there still would be no exposition of the person and the work of Jesus Christ. You think of the Christians across America this morning, and they have got saved by grace through faith, and they're now struggling by effort to live for Christ, and they have never been instructed that holiness is by faith in Jesus. They don't know what it is to live looking unto Jesus. What is this? I want to tell you, that's turning away from Christ. I listen to preachers on the radio, and they just give me a watered-down version of Sigmund Freud, and they tell me that's Christianity. I refuse to believe that. I refuse to believe that garbage. Oh, there is a psychology that Christians need to learn, but it's not the ravings of a near devil-inspired lunatic, but it is the revelation of the blessed Word of God. Turning to Freud instead of Christ is resisting the Holy Ghost. When Christians have a selfish insistence on their own way, that's resisting the Holy Ghost. Psalm 32 and verse 9, the Lord promises to guide His people. But He says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding. Their mouths must be held in with bit and bridle. You ever been in that place where it seems the Lord has to put a tight rein on you and nearly pull the head off you to get you to go and do what's right? You're struggling against the revealed will of God. That's resisting the Holy Ghost. And I want to tell you, it always costs. I think of some cases, two outstanding ones in my mind at the moment from my young days, when two of our friends decided that they were going to go into a marriage bond with enemies of the gospel. They opened the scriptures with them and showed them the way. They insisted in their own way. The years of toil and trouble that followed bore witness to the awful folly of resisting the Holy Ghost. A lack of holiness is a resistance of the Holy Ghost, for sanctification is the work of the Spirit. An absence of interest in revival, a lack of the experience of the fullness of the Holy Ghost, a refusal to make these things a matter of prayer constantly before God. My friend, these are evidences of resisting the Holy Ghost. And I want to be perfectly honest with you. When you as a Christian get to the place that you can sit back at ease in your armchair, and it doesn't matter if the church is praying for revival or not, you're not praying for revival. Doesn't matter if the church is bending its energies towards promoting the work of God, you can't be bothered. You have more important things to do. Then I want to tell you, that is resisting the Holy Ghost. Well, it's not just being out of step with the preacher, out of step with the church. That wouldn't matter. Preacher's not infallible. The church isn't infallible. But the Holy Ghost is. The Holy Ghost is. When you get churches and Christians, they're not only not filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're not the slightest bit interested in being filled with the Holy Ghost. They're not only not in revival, but they don't care about not being in revival. When you get people like that, even though they may be saved, they're resisting the Holy Ghost. Now, this is an awful charge that Stephen makes to the Jews. The response that those Jews manifested proved just how well founded the charge was. They were cut to their heart. On the day of Pentecost, they were pierced with conviction. These people weren't pierced with conviction, they were cut to their heart with shame and anger. And they put Stephen to death. I want to tell you, your response to that text will prove whether you have yet an uncircumcised heart and uncircumcised ears, or whether you have a heart for Christ. Your response. If you sit there this morning, you say, well, I still have no time for Christ. I still have no time for this God. I've heard it all, and you just hardened your heart. And you're just proving you do always resist the Holy Ghost. You're a Christian. And what I say this morning only gets you angry. And I've been preaching long enough to know that there are Christians who just get mad at the preacher. If only they could shut him up when he's saying that. They don't like it. Well, my friend, that's just another indication. Even as a Christian, you're resisting the Holy Ghost. The response that text should call forth from every sinner is a confession and a cry to God, Lord, forgive me. Create within me a new heart. Take away this stony heart. Give me a heart of flesh that's soft toward God. The response that text should elicit from every Christian is, Lord, remove from my heart all selfish insistence on my way, all worldliness that comes between me and the Lord. Lord, give me a heart that's so set on Christ that my practice will measure up to my profession. May God in truth write His word upon our souls and remove from us every trace of resistance against the Holy Spirit. Thank you.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.